I care about Rhode Island. My focus is the people here.
I don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
Most definitely.
Well, folks, good afternoon. On this Tuesday, it's August 8th. It is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Here I am each afternoon, 1 to 5, or 1 to 5, as Valeria likes to say it, right here, right-hand side of the dial, and it's AM 1540, and it's WADK. And joining us right now, he is, in fact, the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. We want to say good afternoon to our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Justin, I would like to start off with the editorial in the Providence Journal that I think is very good regarding this whole business with Frank Montanaro. Move along, nothing to see here. I think the reaction, the more we've learned about Rhode Island College, it's so troubling. It's lacking of leadership. They obviously don't look good at Rhode Island College. But what I think also can't be lost here is the position that they were put in, where the speaker, and basically they can say Matty Ello didn't know. I just don't believe that. But the speaker's right-hand man, Frank Montanaro, was basically strong-arming Rhode Island College in order to try to get this free tuition and then threatening the grievances if it wasn't given. And people should understand, because that sends a message where then you're saying, hey, listen, you don't want to give me the $20,000 worth of free tuition for the entire year, whatever it may be. Well, it's going to cost you $20,000 in fighting this legal fees with the grievance. So I like the fact and get your thoughts on the journal editorial regarding Montanaro.
Yeah, well, you know, that's actually kind of standard union operating procedure. I mean, whenever you see one of these local controversies, we actually have a budding industry of them in Tiverton, where the some employee is doing something, say they're sleeping on a job or using the town or city's resources for their own projects, and then they get sacked and they get put on paid leave. And more often than not, in fact, every time I can think of, the town council, city council, mayor, whoever it is, comes forward and says, you know what, we're just going to settle this one, let them gracefully retire, because otherwise we're going to spend all the money on legal fees with the unions fighting us to fire this person who we think was obviously doing something wrong. So it's just like a new level. When you're just a regular employee, you get that level of security. When you're a higher up in the whole echelon, you get this special treatment where you get special deals. And in a lot of ways, that's just how it's worked, just applied in kind of a new and innovative way. And don't let anybody tell you that Rhode Island isn't more innovative in recent years. But what I loved about the journal editorial was that they raised this idea, this kind of a surprise. I doubt they were really surprised, but pointed out that nobody at RIC resisted this. None of them went public with it to try to gain leverage against this union tactic of legal intimidation. And, you know, that's just because there's no incentive for them to do that.
To be accurate about it, in the Channel 12 story that had the documents, Rhode Island College was fighting him on it, because then that's when they threatened to file a grievance if they wouldn't grant it. And then even in the agreement, they basically were granting it to him, but saying that they didn't necessarily agree with it. So you could call it passive resistance, but mm-hmm. but what I think is lacking from this whole situation is what I see as complete abuse of power. Number one, missing from the editorial, and then Matty Ello even had the nerve, the speaker, to do media interviews saying Rhode Island College was wrong to give him the free tuition, even though we know damn well they were strong-arming Rhode Island College. Their funding comes out of the speaker's office. Ed Pacheco, who works at the college, former Democrat chairman, who was also the lobbyist for Rhode Island College, he was even CC'd on one of the emails, and then he, you know, won't say anything. So I think at the very least, Rhode Island College, they didn't go to the mat on it. And as the journal says, maybe some a little light on this, if they had kind of dropped a dime on this, it would have got more attention. But in the end, you are right. They folded on the whole thing. But What I'm trying to say, Justin, is what is so egregious to me is Mattiello Montanaro strong-arming, using their power from the corner office of the Speaker's office to ram this through, knowing that it's really not the right thing to do.
Well, yeah, but I guess the point I'm driving at is that at that middle management sort of layer, there's no real incentive to push back on these things. Maybe, you know, you have a little integrity, so you try to stop it. You know, do you do what you can, saying, oh, you can't fill out the form like that and try to not have to do something that's costly and not appropriate. But at the end of the day, the labor unions run the General Assembly and the elected offices, so you're going to get the pressure from on top. You don't necessarily even have to have it verbalized. I mean, as you say, putting somebody in the CC of an email is actually more than is usually probably necessary, because people just know this is the way every action is viewed in Rhode Island. And then not only do you have that coming from above, but all your employees from below, if they get riled up at a decision you make. So the incentives, the key point of the editorial, I think, was that the incentives all point against anybody ultimately advocating for the taxpayers unambiguously and saying,
yes,
this is our job. We're trying to save, we're trying to preserve and be respectful of the people paying the bills. And that gets squeezed out because of the public sector union model.
You know what's also not mentioned in this whole thing? And again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. You know, Justin, what still is not mentioned here, that I think there are some questions that still need to be answered, is why he filled out those fraudulent forms for URI. Because this business where they strong-armed Rhode Island College into giving him this deal and threatening union grievances, he still defrauded the University of Rhode Island by checking that off. Now, maybe he feels that he has cover because of the deal that he cut with Rhode Island College, and then therefore, I don't know. I don't know why he wouldn't just attach that deal or explain he's got a certain deal with that. But no one seems to be touching on the fact that it's not just a Rhode Island College situation. We still have six different times with the University of Rhode Island that he gave them answers fraudulently on the documents.
Yeah, well, and that's a great point. I'm hopeful. These stories for the journalists take a while to unfold. You know, you have to request something, be denied, go to this channel and try to get it. I'm still hopeful we'll get some explanation at some point. Maybe even if it comes to whistleblowing, somebody somewhere will give some explanation of the backstory for checking off the wrong boxes, or I mean, there's got to be a call or an email that says, yeah, we're going to let him slide on this just to fill out the form, have him check off this particular box, and we're good. I suspect somebody somewhere gave the instruction to allow that, but there's still work to be done on the story for sure.
You know, what's interesting, Justin, is, and folks, we're talking about the Frank Montanaro story. I mean, to me, this is complete abuse of power. Let's face it, the reason he was granted this is because he took the job with the Speaker's office. A regular person would not be granted this. This is another example of the Rhode Island culture. I know a guy. It's abuse of power. And when Mattiello, when he is called out on it, he basically blames the college and said they shouldn't have given it to him. And I kind of liken that, and I said it on the air. It reminds me of the scene from Animal House where they convince Flounder to use the brother's car, and at the end of it, after they've totaled it, Otter pulls him aside and says, Flounder, face it, you blanked up, you trusted us. I mean, to then blame Rhode Island College, you strong-arm the college, they caved to your demands, and then you say the problem is that the college caved to his friend Frank Montanaro. I mean, it's talk about salt in the wound, and the journal also is not wrong. Justin, I like how that is true. I remember Gordon Fox was given the honorary degree, and then Paiva Weed was given the honorary degree. As much as the journal, again, slams Rhode Island College saying they were kissing up to him, there's no sense up on Smith Hill that maybe we're abusing this power a little bit, or, you know, for them to say, you know, gee, thank you, but that's unnecessary. And, you know, is that what has to happen in order for a college to be able to receive the type of funding that they you know need in order to operate effectively?
Well, I don't know. The whole the whole system is just a corrupt way of shuffling favors, and whether that's, you know, $50,000 for free tuition or some kind of an honorary degree or something like that. The whole system's corrupt, and you make a great point at pulling forward Speaker Mattiello's audacity in saying, well, they shouldn't have given it. I disagree with that whole policy. I mean, just it's almost like testing the waters and daring to see if anybody's paying attention, you know, like when you're giving a boring lecture and you throw in a curse or something, it, just to see if anybody's still awake. It's really pretty stunning, and it's been a very, very clarifying year in Rhode Island politics in that way, anyway.
It has, and just the attitude of what they're entitled to. Now, you know, we have to wait and see what's going to happen with Kilmartin. Maybe he's going to say something. He may not say anything. He may let this fade. I also find it interesting, Montanaro, this whole business of, you know, well, I'm going to pay it back over 10 years. The college isn't requiring him to do it. He said he's going to do it on his own. I don't know how much longer he's going to work before now his pension has basically been boosted up because of the job that Mattiello gave him. I don't know, 5-6 years from now, is anyone going to try to track him down and say, hey, whatever happened to that, and how come you haven't paid it back? And I mean, I think it was just we need to make the story go away. So why don't you say, and people keep saying, well, at least he is paying it back. We'll see. I have doubts on whether or not, A, he's going to pay it back. And as much as I initially thought we would see something that seemed to be clear charges of fraud regarding the documents he filled out with URI, I don't know. I don't have the most confidence in Attorney General Peter Kilmartin.
Yeah, well, the Providence Journal kind of insinuated in the right direction, noting that, you know, Kilmartin and Montanaro are old colleagues, so it's not as if we've got a disinterested inspector general or something digging into this.
No.
As far as whether he'll have to pay it back, I would expect that at the very least, even if nobody in government's going to keep an eye on it, there are journalists who now have this on their regular reminder list. I know I'm going to be checking up on his payroll, because my suspicion, I'm not predicting this, but the thing I'm going to be watching out for is to see if maybe there's some tweaks in his salary that are disproportionate to what other people are getting, just to, you know, take the edge off what he's actually paying back. And then, you know, over 10 years, if he gets a little, just a slightly bigger raise or a slightly little extra bonus or something's called overtime that wasn't, or over 10 years, you can just get back your 50 grand when you're making 150 as a base salary, right?
That is a very, very good point. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Well, Justin, the PR blitz has already started. I've seen it on CNN. I think I saw it on Bloomberg. Rhode Island governor now to offer free college tuition at the junior college CCRI of Rhode Island. You know, despite the fact that we still have the business-friendly, unfriendly climate, that the taxes continue to go up, Governor Raimondo, it sounds like, you know, she's walking away from the rubble by saying, you know, I found what I was looking for. She got what she wanted out of it, and it wasn't in the car tax. It wasn't anything like that. It was basically just the quote, free tuition. But as we all know, it's not free. There was really no need for it. There's the majority of the students, it's not a matter that they weren't returning to CCRI because they couldn't afford it. It was all just because they weren't really prepared to handle the work at CCRI. So it all just seems to be about optics and a political victory that she can champion for Governor Raimondo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's clearly, especially particularly given all the national coverage of this Rhode Island fourth state. You know, it's the national media has a ticker, you know, fourth state, fifth state, sixth state. It's a national policy put down by the Democrat Party that Governor Raimondo has jumped onto as a means of, I think, national fundraising for her reelection and for further office after that. So it is all about optics. And as you say, CCRI's issue isn't that people can't afford it. It's that its role in our state is a little bit different than, you know, kind of a college is generally thought of. So what this will do is it'll draw from RIC or URI and the private colleges some of the people who want to be financially savvy and get a couple free years and then transfer and finish their four-year degree. And there goes your two-year, because now the rule is you have to stay in the state for 2 years if you get 2 years of free tuition. So you do RIC, CCRI for 2 years, you do RIC or URI, and I think that probably satisfies your two-year requirement, and there you go. You got 2 years free. What I found most stunning in all this is was with the WPRI coverage, and they found a parent who has two children approaching college, and she said, "This is like winning the lottery." And I thought that pretty much summarized Rhode Island's kind of the way we do business here. You know, that's how we operate. We see Montanaro getting this huge $50,000 free tuition benefit himself, and that's sort of like the guy we put on the pedestal. That he really won the lottery. I mean, he got caught, so he had to give it back. But now you, too, if you vote for the right people, you, too, can win the lottery and get a few grand off your kids' college education. it's just a way of buying people into it. To the extent that it's not just a national platform for politicians, it's just a way to make us all feel like we're reliant on government for handouts. And at the end of the day, if we're all paying our taxes to get something back, we're breaking even anyway, and the government just takes a cut off the top of it for processing fees.
That's
it,
right.
It makes no sense at all.
Instead of the Rhode Island promise, they should call it the Montanaro promise, to just name it after him for the free tuition. But go ahead, Justin. What were you going to say?
Yeah. Well, the thing that struck me actually yesterday, we have to have a tree cut down, and I was talking to a guy giving me an estimate, and he's saying that their tree cutting business is going out of business around here, not because there's no work, but because they can't find enough employees to keep up, and it's just not worth the hassle of trying to find employees and all that. And he told me it's $15 an hour to be on the ground dragging away the brush and $30 to climb and cut the stuff down. I mean, that's good money for a good day's work, and that they would normally draw from community colleges or students who aren't quite ready for college. Instead, we're spending taxpayer money to convince these young adults that they really ought to just, hey, why not? It's free. Just go waste a couple of years here, see if it's for you. And when really there's a cost to that. In 2 years of no work experience, 2 years of not saving up money and learning how to be a good employee. And in the long run, we're probably actually doing harm to the students who take advantage of this program.
Yes, because number one, only 5%, from what I understand, only 5% of the CCRI students are finishing within 2 years. So I don't know what happens after that. Number two, if, like anything else, if something is given to you for free, it devalues it. And so it would be when you've spent a lot of money, it then becomes the incentive. I know so many people that over the years, they wanted to finish up and get that degree because they'd come that far, they'd spent that kind of money. But if something was given to you and it was free and then you're still short, it's as easy as it is to show up because it's free, it's going to be just as easy, if not twice as easy, to quit because it's free. We're going to ask Justin to hold on, folks, for just a moment. We're going to come back, continue our discussion with Justin Katz, who is, in fact, the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro on this Tuesday. I want to remind you about Sam's Inn. Everyone is raving about Sam's Inn, located 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick. Sam's Inn. Call them at 737-6073. Remember, it's Sam's Inn. Sam Curry has done it again. He, Kimberly, Pam, the whole staff there, they're so fantastic. Everything, every meal cooked to order. And at Sam's Inn, daily lunch special is just $6.95. As far as dinner, free salad bar with any entree. And you're going to love the food at Sam's Inn. Whether I had the pot roast or on Thursday nights, my friend Ray loves the meatloaf. They also have delicious linguine with clam sauce. Try the broiled sea scallops. They'll melt in your mouth, or the baked scrod, cooked perfect. They also have pasta with meatballs, delicious burgers like the Sam burger or the Russian burger or the Texan. Try the lobster roll. I mean, it is so fantastic and delicious. The club sandwiches, Clams Casino, Sam's Inn serves great baked stuffed quahog. It's all happening at Sam's Inn. Remember, to the left, you come into Sam's Inn, to the left, they have the lounge with live entertainment. On the right side, they have the dining room. They also have a private party room that we've utilized. Remember, free salad bar with any entree. All the food is farm to table, and every meal cooked to order at Sam's Inn. Daily lunch special, $6.95. Sam Curry, he's done it again. Stop in at Sam's Inn. Call them, 737-6073. You can take out. You can replace your order online at samsinnri.com. Or stop in and see them, 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come right back, talk with Justin Katz from OceanStateCurrent.com. Com. And then also, coming up a little bit later, we're going to talk to our friend Terry Gorman about how about now sanctuary cities want to sue the state, the different states that want to enforce sanctuary cities. Stay tuned. It's all ahead on the John DePietro Show.
Introducing the all-new Chevrolet Bolt EV, America's affordable, fully electric crossover with 238 miles of range. The Bolt EV is as easy to charge as your cell phone. Paul Massey Chevrolet has over 80 Bolt EVs and is out to electrify Rhode Island with this exclusive one-price lease. Only $249 a month for 39 months with zero due-it signing. Visit Paul Massey Chevrolet, your only true one-price Bolt EV dealer.
What happens at the State House doesn't stay at the State House. It reaches into our pocketbooks, our schools, our highways, the air we breathe, and the water we drink.
That's why this Senate District 13 election on August 22nd is so important. And that's why AM 1540 WADK and What's Up Noop will present a live candidates forum on August 15th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
We'll ask tough questions that will reveal important differences between the candidates and help you decide how you'll vote on August 22nd.
As informed voters, we can make a difference. Listen to the debate live on AM 1540 WADK, or catch your podcast later on whatsupnoop.com or WADK.com.
Sponsored by the Chad Kritsis team at Keller Williams Realty.
Today, we're talking about your budget and budget blinds.
People get so hung up on that word budget.
Listen, everybody's got a budget. Budget Blinds is all about getting the window coverings you really want at a price that fits your budget.
Right. They have exclusive designer styles, hundreds of choices.
And Budget Blinds gives you expert service. None of that do-it-yourself. The pros bring the showroom to you, then do it all. Measure and install.
What a relief.
That's style and service for every budget.
And right now, during their 25th anniversary celebration, it's the biggest sale of the year, with special upgrades and offers.
Explain the free upgrades, like the invisible tilt for shutters.
Make shutters look cleaner, more contemporary. Same with the free cordless upgrade on honeycomb shades. No cords. Look sleek and uncluttered.
I like that. Just call this number. It's easy to remember. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS.
855, then the name, Budget Blinds. Or go online.
BudgetBlinds.com.
Remember, budget means getting custom window coverings at a price that fits your budget. And remember, 855-BUDGET-BLINDS.
Offer good on selected products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
Are you thinking of doing some cleaning, maybe cleaning out that basement, or maybe cleaning out your attic, or just doing some cleaning? A lot of people, when you're on vacation, throw out some of the clutter. Maybe you're going to move. Call Mega Disposal today at 866-420-MEGA. Mega Disposal, local family-owned and operated trash and recycling collection company. They've been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. You own a small business? Call Mega for your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. How about a swing door? Provide easy loading of materials. Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops that can be emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. Call Mega today at 866-420-6342. You know, you see their trucks and staff collecting your household trash or recycling items curbside. Many local communities like Barrington, West Warwick, East Greenwich, North Providence, Pawtucket, Mega has dumpster service for small household construction projects or garage and basement cleanouts. Maybe you need 10 cubic yards for small yard cleaning or 15 for most garage or basement cleanups. Various sizes for state cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. Call Mega Disposal today, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. Get a dumpster in the driveway. You know, work out the delivery, and then they'll remove it. Mega, call them today, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back. Folks, we're joined by, from the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, it's our friend Justin Katz. You know, Justin, as we are approaching now, getting into mid-August, and if there was going to be a Democrat primary for governor next year, certainly, you're coming up on, it would be in a year. So right after Labor Day, granted, you know, first Tuesday, whatever it's going to be, first, second Tuesday in September next year would be a Rhode Island primary if there was going to be one for statewide offices. And as we are progressing through August, there's still plenty of time, but it is interesting that as much as now there's starting to be talk about people that would run in 2022, but we still have not seen anyone poke their head out, kind of like the groundhog, and at least start to float out the idea that they may challenge Governor Raimondo to a primary.
Well, yeah, on the Democrat side of the aisle, they're clearly trying to figure out their game plan, and they've got a lot more leverage because they've got more positions they can run for. They've got more power. They can promise things to certain people. So, you know, you don't challenge her now. Go to try for a lieutenant governor or what have you. So there's a lot more. I'm sure a lot of what we're seeing in public with the Republicans is actually happening in the back rooms as the Democrats kind of work out outside of public view who ought to run for each step. And it'll only be if there's contention between, say, the progressives or the teachers union and the governor that we'll see anything that isn't essentially just a show.
I think you're right. As much as union head Bob Walsh said, you know, the sign is going to go out, we want a real Democrat. There's an article in the Washington Post. I mean, last week you saw the West Virginia governor break off. That's one less Democrat governor. The Democrat Party, you know, we're kind of jaded here in Rhode Island because as much as they hold all the power, and then look at this, how, you know, the condition that the state is in with the Democrats control all the major offices. They control the governor's seat. They control the state house. But the fact of the matter is the party in general is in trouble because there does not seem to be a unified message. And so locally, I think, you know, Clay Pell, we did not formally see Clay Pell announce until, you know, and then even after that, he said he kind of announced a little too late if he could have done it over again. You know, Angel Tavares and Gina Raimondo, they pretty much announced right after, you know, Chafee said he wasn't going to seek re-election. But other than Chafee kind of keeps dangling the carrot that he may run, I don't even see a progressive out there. I know the progressives are unhappy with Governor Raimondo, but I don't even see a progressive really, Justin, kind of threatening, or at least, you know, you start to see some signs. They raise their visibility. We've seen it, obviously, on the Republican side with which we're going to talk about in a moment, Joe Trillo and Mayor Fung and Patricia Morgan. But I have to say, I am surprised simply because the amount of Democrats that I hear from that feel that she is very beatable and that she is also just she just has not connected with the voters.
Yeah, well, that's politics, right? One thing I think with the progressives, it seems like, I mean, Bob Walsh and the unions, the teachers union, especially the NEA, are essentially part of the progressive movement in Rhode Island.
Yes.
So they may do something against the governor or at least try to leverage something to pressure her. But I think the rank and file progressives are starting to figure out really that their big leverage comes in the legislature. And that's a great path toward higher office and statewide office. So you hear about Aaron Regenberg after just one go as a House representative in out of Providence, going for lieutenant governor.
Which is
almost literally nothing except a step to run for something other than lieutenant governor. So I think as far as the progressive movement, I almost wonder if they're, you know, Raimondo's target for them is just to stay tolerable. You know, as long as they can tolerate her as governor, they probably see their better path as being through the legislature and kind of that grassroots challenging mainstream Democrats in the state. And I'm sure they'll take anybody who's largely self-financed or at least is able to make a show like Lincoln Chafee to cause some disruption and pressure the governor at the very least. But I would expect that they may not mount a I'd be more inclined to see them running for trying to undermine the speaker or maybe
yes.
potentially the Senate president, although everybody kind of forgets about that
yes.
wing of the General Assembly, rather than going after the governor. Because, you know, in Rhode Island, it's a relatively not useless, but powerless position, you know, relative to other states. So that would probably be their play, and which may open up an avenue for the Republicans and conservatives, because the governor's seat is a little bit more attractive because they're so far behind in the General Assembly.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens right in the Newport-Jamestown Pibeweed seat. As you know, that special election is coming up at the end of this month with Mike Smith and then the very progressive Dawn Hoyer, and where that's going to go. But there's already talk that Samuel Bell, he stepped down as the head of the progressives, but they're already mounting campaigns. There's two people that apparently are going to face progressive challenges in the next election. One is going to be Mattiello, and number two is going to be his right hand, his number two, which is Joe Sakacci of Warwick. Now, you know, Sakacci and Mattiello try to, you know, come off as far more moderate-type Democrats. But I'll tell you, Justin, the progressives, they are a force to be reckoned with. And I think you're right. They also recognize where maybe the real power lies, and that could be put more of your effort into some of these rep seats or a state Senate seat like the Pibeweed seat, as opposed to, you know, all the resources that would go into a run for governor. Now, speaking of run for governor, I think it's going to be very interesting, and I want to get your thought on Representative Patricia Morgan. It is she has really, for someone who, you know, let's face it, if you asked a lot of people in Rhode Island, you know, who are some of the Republicans up at the Rhode Island State House, nothing against some of them, they just don't carry that profile. But I'll tell you, Patricia Morgan, she's got a lot of fans out there. She certainly seems, you know, unafraid to speak out, fearless in many ways. Of course, she had that big battle against Gallison that time. I'm curious as your thought on her mounting. She's, you know, checking it out, but definitely leaving open the door for a potential run for governor. Finances would obviously be a big challenge. But I'm curious what you think of. She's definitely raised her profile. People know who she is. They respect her. She's seen as a fighter. She has the people's best interest at heart. What do you think of the potential of a Patricia Morgan for governor candidacy?
Well, I think it's great to have her in the race, irrespective, because she does keep a lot of other issues alive, whether it's, you know, tolls or the payroll stuff that she's been investigating in the Raimondo administration. And running gives her an opportunity to keep doing that, to raise her profile, raise money for potential moves, even if she weren't to run for governor, and gives her some leverage as a conservative legislator to pull any other candidates, say a Fung or Ferrucci, Giovanni Ferrucci, if he were to run, to pull them to the right, at least for a primary, and make some promises that they'll have trouble breaking. I don't know. I think if... So it's good that she's in the race, and I hope she'll stay in it and at least floating the idea and maybe even running up to a primary, as long as it doesn't end up being one of those knockdown, drag out primaries, which hurt everybody. But if she does stay in it until the end, going for the seat to try to win it, I think she's going to have to start making the case that not only does she have some good ideas and she's willing to step forward and push back on the insiders, but that she can actually manage something, because we tend to forget that a legislator and a governor are very different jobs. So I would expect that to be one of the open questions she'll definitely have to address as she moves forward in the campaign.
I think it would be, I have no idea how the Republican primary could shake out, but I think it'd be a very interesting dynamic if you had her one-on-one in a debate against Governor Raimondo. I think she could, you know, throw and land some real haymakers on the governor that maybe Joe Trillo, and if they run Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, would have to be a little more hesitant to throw just because it's a female candidate. But, you know, can you imagine if we ended up with Republican Patricia Morgan versus Democrat Gina Raimondo? That would be one of the Rhode Island races for the ages.
Oh yeah, it'd be a lot of fun to watch, and what I would look for in that, because we talk frequently about how, and even in this call, how Governor Raimondo just doesn't connect with
the
people.
She doesn't, no.
And that's one thing I've noticed about Representative Morgan, is she does have that ability to, at least my impression is that she does, when she says, you know, the taxpayer, I'm protecting taxpayers and I have the interests of the average Rhode Islander at heart, you believe her.
Yes.
She does have some credibility in that regard.
Yes.
It doesn't seem phony. She doesn't seem like some, you know, investor coming down from on high to rub elbows as gov. So that would be, I think that would be the key dynamic, especially once you take gender out of it.
Yes.
And that would make for a very, very interesting race.
Yeah. Finally, I think that, you know, the legislature is supposedly coming back next month. Obviously, the Plus Sox deal floating out there. Worcester is now floating out that they're very interested in getting the team. I noticed last night on Twitter, I mean, think about this. It is August 7th, right? You're in the peak of the summer. This is it. The kids start to go back to school before Labor Day now. And last night, they had 3,000 people at McCoy. Now, granted, it wasn't great weather, but I even wonder, of the 3,000 of the attendance, how much actually paid. A lot of those are still free tickets. I am really starting to question. I just don't think, I agree, I think, with those, forget about just the dynamics of the deal. I just don't think, Justin, there's tremendous interest in minor league baseball the way it was years ago, and I think the upcoming generation, their interests lie elsewhere. I mean, Thursday night, Patriot preseason, that's going to be a full stadium up at Gillette Stadium, and, you know, between the Brady stuff and everything else, it just, if you are only drawing 3,000 people the first week of August at McCoy, I don't know. I just don't see that as a good sign.
Well, yeah, interest in baseball has been fading, I think, although I'm not up on the stats that much. It seems, and people are really questioning the value. A lot of these things, it's nice to have a stadium. It's nice to be able to say you've got a stadium.
Yeah.
Which is probably why the mayor of Worcester is so interested in it.
Right.
But when you don't have the money and when your economy has been flagging for decades, people start to look at that and really question the value. And especially in this kind of era where it's getting bad enough, we're all kind of looking at what everybody else gets and wondering, well, if I can't get X, why can they get Y? So I think if these sorts of deals are going to have any hope in Rhode Island, they're going to have to be much more privately funded and they're going to have a much broader focus. I don't know that you'll be able to just do a baseball stadium. You know, perhaps if it were a multi-purpose stadium where they could have attract both a minor league baseball team and whatever the equivalent in football or soccer, say, that might have enough appeal to get it over the edge. But
right.
I think we're going to have, given generational changes, technological changes, and economic changes in Rhode Island specifically, I think it's going to be hard to sell these kind of deals without just, you know, putting it through a revenue bond that nobody gets to vote on.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we still don't know where the House is going to come. Obviously, the Senate wants it because the laborers want to build this stadium. But I don't hear anyone, and obviously because of the nature of my occupation, I come in contact with so many different people. You know, Justin, I don't hear anyone saying, boy, I really hope they go ahead with that stadium. I agree with you. Maybe a multi-purpose stadium. I know that when they were going to do the Plusac Stadium, when Skeffington was alive and they were going to do it down on the I-95 land, they also talked about trying to work something out with Brown University. Maybe Brown would play some games under the lights there and try to incorporate that in some way. I understand the mayor of Pawtucket, they would love it. It would look great off the highway. There's no question about it. But I think people underestimate. People have no appetite for the taxpayers to be on the hook for this whole thing. And I think that the Paw Sox owners and the leadership are starting to realize that there's just no one that has the kind of juice around here that can make that happen. You know, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, when you're sitting there with a 71% approval rating, you have some political capital. You know, one of the problems that President Trump is looking at right now is when you start to, you know, when they start coming out with approval ratings saying you're only at 38%, if I'm a congressman or senator, I don't know if I'm necessarily afraid to go against the White House. So I think one of the toughest things for the Paw Sox and is just they realize that there does not seem to be a politician popular enough that could really rally this. I mean, the only one that has the highest popularity seems to be Senator Jack Reed, and obviously I haven't heard him say word one, you know, about anything about a Paw Sox stadium or we need to do this or anything like that. So we're going to find out next month, but I think they're going to be taken aback. I'm going to give you the final word. I think they're going to be taken aback at just the public outcry over people do not want taxpayer money to go towards this stadium.
Right, and I think the focus could change in a better direction rather than looking for the politician who can push you over the line or the economic financial wizardry that makes it look like it doesn't cost as much as it costs. Why not look for those opportunities to make it a different repackage of the product? And then maybe you get the support. You know, if you could show how you'll have major concerts there or something else or if essentially the Paw Sox were the headline or the core client of a larger thing that people use for other purposes, then you could start to sell it. But they don't ever – that always seems to be the last resort. They just want the giveaways or the political pull. And I think that's a mistake, and it would be a good learning lesson if we could get off of that particular kick.
Folks, he is the managing editor from OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great job. Always good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again.
Likewise. Talk to you next week.
All right. Folks, it's John DePietro. Good afternoon. It is the John DePietro Show. You can call in 846-1028 on the John DePietro Show.
It's where you live, a New England home.
Here we go.
Give it a look, that's all its own.
That's right.
Garage headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
You know, I was riding around, I was visiting a friend, lives in a beautiful neighborhood, and you see beautiful lawn, looks like Augusta National, beautiful home, and then have to admit, some of the doors looking a little shabby. You have that beautiful house and you have an old garage door? Well, call the leader. Or go online, garageheadquarters.com. Call them at 877-62-GARAGE. How about an investment-grade door that's going to improve the value of your home? How does that sound? Call today. There has to be a leader, a number one, and they are 877-62-GARAGE.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Folks, I'll tell you what I love about Overhead Door, and I respect so much, obviously proud sponsors of Crazy Time, is they are a Rhode Island success story. This started Team Grace, Jim Grace, back in 1973 with a dollar and a dream. Small two-person office across from TF Green Airport now. It is so impressive. They are the leader. More trucks on the road, better technicians, more warehouses than any other company in Rhode Island and Southeastern Mass. No one does it better. It's very simple. For your home or business, you can't buy a better door for a better price. Go with the winner. Go with the original. Go with the number one. Call them today.
Garage Headquarters, 767-62-GARAGE.
The Ford Summer Sales event is in full swing.
All right, man. 7 ballparks in 7 days. Here we go.
I've got my maps.
You don't need them.
Huh?
I got a nav system. See, you could even pinch to zoom. Look it.
And with available Sync 3 and voice-activated navigation, Ford Fusion has the tech to get you there and back.
Okay, you're holding that map upside down, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I thought Indiana looked, strange.
Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, during the Ford Summer Sales event. Get 0% financing for 72 months on select Fusion, Escape, Edge, and Explorer models. Plus, get $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Offer ends August 22nd. Best-selling based on current year 2016 sales. Don't drive while distracted. Use voice-operated systems when possible. Don't use handheld devices while driving. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after new retail delivery. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take delivery from dealer stock by August 22nd, 2017.
Folks, remember, Dan's Place is your place. Great food, family-friendly atmosphere, award-winning wings, delicious burgers, and the best pizza you've ever tasted. They're waiting for you at Dan's Place, located 880 Victory Highway in West Greenwich. So easy to get to. right off of Route 95, you just take exit 5A, and boom, there you are at Dan's Place. And there's always something happening at Dan's Place. Last night, Monday night, they have trivia at 6:30, followed by karaoke at 9:30. Tomorrow, people love Dan's Place on Wednesdays. Good reason. Wine down Wednesdays, half-price bottles of wine all day. Thursday, Mexican Day with all your favorites. Dan's Place, 880 Victory Highway. They have live entertainment on Thursday night, on Friday night, on Saturday night. Easy to get to, great kids menu, delicious desserts. But as soon as you walk in, you know, I was mentioning this to a friend of mine. There's just a certain vibe. Some places have it, some places don't. There's a vibe at Dan's Place. Like, people are there to have fun, relax, enjoy themselves, have a great meal. Always seems like it's somebody's birthday, somebody celebrating, whatever it may be. Dan's Place. Stop in and see them. 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich. They're right off of Route 95. You just take exit 5A and boom, you'll see them right there at Dan's Place.
Broadcasting from the far right on your AM dial at 1540, The John DePietro Show.
All right, and we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. And there you are. It's The John DePietro Show. Here I am, right side of the dial. AM 1540. Plug it into your car. Then you don't have to search around. WADK. Remember, folks, you can always visit the website, WADK.com. Listen live that way. Or you can go to DePietro.com. I only just give out my website just because it's all kind of like one-stop shopping. It has the Facebook feed there. It has the Twitter feed there. It has the links to WADK, the whole deal, right here, the John DePietro Show, each afternoon. You know, we are building. It's so exciting. New listeners each day as more people. It is, you know, as I say, find me, so to speak, and that's okay. I got a nice email from someone the other day that said they were on vacation. They rented a beach house down in over right near the Bond View, and said the guy next to him was, you know, in his driveway in his car, and he's like, "Oh my God, it's Juan." And went over and said, you know, "Hey, I'm renting the house next to you. Do you mind if I ask you, how are you listening to John DePietro?" He said he's right here. So hello to Gary. He and his family having a nice vacation. Listen, the sun is going to come out. I'm telling you, the next 2 days are going to be fine. Don't worry about it, Gary. The vacation is not lost. But he said the best thing of the vacation so far that was nice was saying finding you on the radio again. So that's very, very nice of Gary. You know, folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. You can always call in 846-1028, 846-1028. I mentioned great editorial in the Providence Journal about the Montanaro story. And I want to credit, I was watching Hummel does that, it used to be called Deadly Experiment, but Live Experiment. And my former colleague Arlene Violet was right on the money with it, with Lisa Blaise, who's also works for the taxpayers. And Eva Mancuso, who I know, who I like, who I respect, was, to me, just kind of taking the Democrat line. Well, you know, with Frank Montanaro, it was something offered to him and his union and blah, blah, blah. It's all foolishness. This was complete strong-arming. That's what it is. This was, you know, we are going to strong-arm Rhode Island College into giving him this free tuition. And if you're not going to do it, then we're going to file a grievance, and then you're going to end up be paying the grievance towards it. And so it's it is complete abuse of power. And that Ed Pacheco, shame on him. As I said from day one, there's no question in my mind that he was in the mix on this whole thing. And then I was proven right, as he was CC'd on that whole thing. He was the former Democrat Party chair. He got a job at Rhode Island College. And then he's the lobbyist or some role of lobbyist at Rhode Island College. And then he was CC'd on an email on that whole Montanaro thing. But the whole thing is wrong. Hey, closer to home, in a way, Newport Daily News, they had the story. I invited the gentleman mentioned in it, the Newport City Manager, Joseph Nicholson, to come on the air. But The seaweed harvester is no more. You know, anyone that has ever come down by the city, by the sea, First Beach, you know, that has that horrendous red seaweed, for a couple years they had a machine that was working, that was at least somewhat doing the job, but now apparently it's no more. It's not going to be fixed. They can't use it anymore. They even said it looks like it's got 100 pieces of chewing gum on it. It's been used this summer, but its absence was mostly unnoticed until all the seaweed arrived. So, now, I don't know about you. I mean, I do enjoy swimming in the ocean, but the seaweed is just a deal breaker. It just is. There's always bugs in it, in any seaweed. If you go to the beach and there's seaweed, I don't care if it's Newport Second, or it's Narragansett Pier, or it's East Matunic, or it's Bonnet Shores. If there's seaweed in the water, I'm not going in. So the fact that they cannot come up with some way, Newport Daily News, they've been trying for 60 years to do something about the red seaweed. Aren't we the ocean state? Where in God's name is Save the Bay? Where is URI Oceanography? Like, how is this possible in this day and age? So the thing is broken. Other costs are about $60,000. I don't know. Get someone to donate something. But that is something that most tourists that come in, that's what they see. That's the closest beach. That's the beach they go to. I think I'll go in the water. Until I saw all the red stuff. Who the hell wants to swim surrounded by seaweed? I'll answer that question. Never mind. I mean, the water normally is so cold. You know, in June and July, you got to talk yourself into going in. And then now you got to deal with the stupid red seaweed. I mean, we could put a man on the moon, but they can't get rid of the seaweed at Newport First Beach. How is that possible? It's the same way, like, every time it rains in Warwick, suddenly, oh, 5 beaches are closed. Like, this is 2017. Crying out loud. Figure something out. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. 846-1028. I want to remind you that our friends at Eastside Clinical Lab, they are Rhode Island's only full-service, in-network, independent laboratory, and they've been taking care of Rhode Islanders for over 65 years, with patients being responsible, more out-of-pocket costs. Eastside Lab, dedicated to keeping more money in your pocket when meeting your medical testing needs. You don't have to compromise quality for cost. Accurate, timely testing results delivered directly to your doctor. For more information, visit labchoice.org. Find a lab close to you. Now, with over 50 locations, 50, there's an Eastside Clinical Lab right near you, and highest quality, lowest cost, Eastside Clinical Lab. They accept all insurances. Stop in. Why pay more? For more information, answers to your questions on a location near you, visit labchoice.org, labchoice.org. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Now, folks, coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to be joined by our friend Terry Gorman. There's a big movement now with some of these cities. They want to sue the government over this whole business of sanctuary cities. We're going to talk to Terry coming up at 4 o'clock. There's also a new poll out that says if the election were held today, John Kasich, Governor Kasich of Ohio, would beat President Trump in a New Hampshire primary. I think it's very early. You know, I did have some friends that were behind Kasich, and then they kind of folded and got in line behind President Trump. President Trump, in different parts of the country, he's doing great. Obviously, the media continues their attack against him. We'll touch on that a little bit and more of your phone calls, most importantly. 846-1028, 846-1028, and then we'll talk to Terry about this business of sanctuary cities coming up at 4 o'clock. Stay with us.